భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 10 చాప్టర్ 60 టెక్స్ట్ 10, 11 and 12 టుడే. టెక్స్ట్ నెంబర్ 10 ఇస్ ఆన్ ద బోర్డ్. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ రాజపుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ లోకపాల విభూతిభిః మహానుభావై శ్రీమద్భిః రూపౌదార్యబలోర్జితై. శ్రీభగవానువాచ రాజపుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ లోకపాల విభూతిభిః మహానుభావై శ్రీమద్భిః రూపౌదార్యబలోర్జితై. శ్రీభగవానువాచ రాజపుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ లోకపాల విభూతిభిః మహానుభావై శ్రీమద్భిః రూపౌదార్యబలోర్జితై. శ్రీభగవానువాచ పుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ శ్రీభగవానువాచ రాజపుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ భూతిభిః మహావై శ్రీమద్భిః రూపౌదార్యబలోర్జితై. శ్రీ భగవాన్ ఉవాచ రాజపుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ లోకపాల విభూతిభిః బలోర్జితై.
మాతాజీస్,
శ్రీ భగవానువాచ రాజపుత్రిప్సితా భూపైర్ లోకపాల విభూతిభిః మహానుభావై శ్రీమద్భిః రూపౌదార్య బలోర్జితై.
విల్ సీ ద వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, the Supreme Lord said, Rajaputri, O Princess, Ipsita, you were desired, Bhupai, by kings, Loka, of planets, Pala, like the rulers, Vibhutibhi, whose powers, Maha, great, Anubhavai, whose influence, Shrimadbhi, opulent, Rupa, with beauty, Audarya, generosity, Bala, and physical strength, Urjitai, abundantly endowed. Translation and
the purport to the succeeding verses by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the Supreme Lord said, "My dear princess, you were sought after by many kings as powerful as the rulers of planets. They were all abundantly endowed with political influence, wealth, beauty, generosity, and physical strength." Translation to Shloka number 11. "Since your brothers and father offered you to them, since your brother and father offered you to them, why did you reject the king of Chedi and all those other suitors who stood before you maddened by Cupid? Why instead did you choose us who are not at all your equal?" Text number 12, translation and then purport. Translation: "Terrified of those kings, O lovely broad one, we took shelter in the ocean. We have become enemies of powerful men and we have practically abandoned our royal throne." Purport: Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti comments on this verse as follows. The Lord's mentality here can be understood as follows. "When I gave Rukmini a single flower from the heavenly Parijat tree, Satyabhama showed such a torrent of fury that I could not pacify her even by bowing down at her feet. Only when I gave her a whole Parijat tree was she satisfied. Rukmini, however, did not display any anger even when she saw me give Satyabhama the whole tree. So, how can I enjoy the nectar of angry words from this wife who never feels jealousy, who is supremely sober, and who always speaks pleasingly? Thus, considering, the Supreme Lord decided, if I speak like this to her, I will be able to provoke her anger. This is how some authorities explain Krishna's speech to Rukmini." According to the Acharya, here the words balavad bhi kritad dveshan prayah indicate that Lord Krishna opposed almost all the contemporary kings during his incarnation, befriending only a few, such as the Pandavas and the loyal members of his own dynasty. Of course, as stated in the beginning of the 10th canto, Lord Krishna appeared specifically because the earth was overburdened by innumerable bogus kings and he wanted to remove this burden. Finally, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that the word Tyakta Nripasanan, giving up the king's throne, indicates that after Lord Krishna killed Kamsa, he humbly gave the royal throne to his grandfather Ugrasen, although the Lord himself was entitled to it. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Hare Krishna. So before beginning to speak, I would like to seek blessings of all the assembled devotees so that we can speak something to glorify Krishna. So today we'll discuss three points. The first is how Krishna is the expert teaser. The second point is what are the reasons for Krishna's teasing. And the third is lessons from Krishna's teasing. We see how in Vrindavan, Krishna, when he dances with the peacocks are put to shame. When he sings, when the cuckoos are singing, then the cuckoos feel shy. So Krishna is very expert in everything. And here we see how he is teasing Rukmini Devi. So he is expert in this also. It is described that because of his mischievous nature, Krishna would also tease in his childhood days also. So some of his friends who were younger to him, like Vishal, Ojasvi, Varuthapa, they would not bear his separation in the night time. So in the morning they would get up early and they would come to see if Krishna is ready for their daytime play. So sometimes Krishna is being dressed by Yashoda Mai and all these friends, they are at some distance near the door. And then Yashoda Mai would see them. Then she would say, oh, why are you standing there? Please come inside. And Yashoda Mai is dressing Krishna. So then some of these friends, because they cannot stand even a moment separation from Krishna, they would also start dressing him. So it is described one time his friend Vishal, he was tying Nupur anklets to Krishna. And as he was doing that, so he is bending down and doing it. And Yashoda Mai is probably tying some cloth. So Krishna takes his flute and mildly touches it to Vishal's head. Like troubling him, teasing him. And then Yashoda Mai, see, you know, he's trying to help you. He's so eager for you that he got up early and he came. You are not still ready. Then she would, in one way, chastise Krishna. Why are you doing this, Krishna? And then Krishna would also laugh. But the most interesting thing is, Vishal would also laugh. And he never thought that, oh, I am trying to help Krishna and why is he teasing me? Why is he troubling me? Both had a clear understanding. When he grew up as an adult, there was a housemaid in the home of Krishna. Her name was Jarati. So one time, because she was a little old, Krishna made a little teasing remark at her. She said, oh Jarati, now you are old. So the skin on your face has slackened. So now you almost look like a monkey. So the king of monkeys, Bali Mukh, he is a fit candidate for your marriage. So you should marry him. And then this Jarati also, this is Vrindavan. They don't get offended by these kind of remarks. So Jarati says, actually, yes, I know that Bali Mukh is a fit candidate for me, but I have already taken shelter of you. So if at all I want to marry, I'll marry you. So then Krishna, he's just getting a rebuttal. So there is so much fun in this Krishna Leela, and sometimes it appears to our eyes that it is made at the cost of the other person. But because there is a thick bond of understanding, love between them, nobody misunderstands anybody and they all take it in a funny spirit. There is so much fun in this tax collection pastimes. How the gopas would stand at Dan Ghati near Govardhan and obstruct the gopis. So the gopas would claim that all this land belongs to Krishna. And the gopis would claim, how you can say like this? All this land belongs to Vrindavaneshwari Radharani. Now if you see, all of them are Vaishnavas. Whenever there would be some difficulty, Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, they would all pray to Lord Narayan. So when we hear this, that all this land belongs to Krishna and all this land belongs to Radharani, it is not technically correct. And they themselves know it. It's not that they actually feel it all belongs to Krishna, because in that situation, they don't know Krishna is the Supreme Lord. They know that it all belongs to the Supreme Lord, Lord Narayan. But this is not technical correctness. This is just for having fun. This is like poking each other. So there is so much fun here. And when expertly done, actually such kind of teasing, such kind of poking can make a person very charming, can make a person very attractive. So at the end of these pastimes, both of them argue. And sometimes the gopis win, sometimes the gopas win. And the thing goes on. There is never a conclusion. So teasing is just to titillate the mood, the friendship between them. There is no purpose to achieve out of it, except to highlight the emotions that they have for each other. There is a very popular video of Srila Prabhupada. He is sitting in the lawns of Bhaktivedanta Manor on some kind of a chadar or something. And there is a small little girl child, probably she is Saraswati. And the Saraswati comes near Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada catches her finger. And now she wants to go away. Children are like that. They are very fickle minded. So Prabhupada does not let her go. Sometimes, you know, in that video it shows how Prabhupada lets her go a little bit. Then she feels she can go. Then he pulls. So almost for 2 or 3 minutes, Prabhupada is just playing with this child. So he is also teasing. So many expert personalities, they can do this teasing. If there is a proper bond, then even if somebody is making fun of you or somebody is praising you, finally you know there is no hidden intentions behind it. In Vrindavan, sometimes there is an atmosphere of happiness and sometimes there is an atmosphere of distress. But we all know how spiritually all of them are completely happy, knowing that Krishna is always there for us, Krishna is always protecting us. But here in this present situation, you know, this is very serious. Krishna is passing some kind of glorification of Rukmini Devi. He is saying, oh, you are so beautiful that they were maddened by Cupid. They were maddened by lust. And all of those kings also, they were powerful, intelligent. They were almost like Lokapala. They are almost like rulers of an entire planet. So actually you should have gone with them. But we know, for a sincere lover, where is the choice? For a sincere servant, who's already committed to one master, where is the choice? There is no choice. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi ekeha kuru nandana. So in the Ramayana also, recently there was Ram Navami, when Lord Ram is banished from the kingdom, so he meets Kaushalya Devi, his mother, and then he decides to also inform this to his wife Sita. So he goes to her and just seeing him, because he is not surrounded by any ministers, there is nobody glorifying him, the Sutas and the Magadhas, and the Brahmanas are not chanting Vedic mantras in glorification of him, because he is going to be crowned the Prince Regent the next day. So Sita Devi can put 2 and 2 together, she is intelligent. Just like at one point of time it was described, Rukmini Devi is born in a Kshatriya family, so she knows diplomacy. Similarly, Janaki, Sita Devi also understands what is the meaning of this. So she says, something has gone wrong. Can you please tell me? So Lord Ramchandra, without any malice in the heart, just puts it plainly. He says, Kaikeyi has asked me through Dashrath Maharaj to go to the forest. And I need to go to the forest. So I just wanted to inform you this. Now there is no expectation that Sita Devi also should follow. But Sita Devi says, oh good, very nice. You are going to the forest, so I'll also come to the forest. She begs that I should also go along with you. She says, I'll be very happy. She says, I'll be very happy to come with you. She informs, actually the dharma of the wife is to accompany the husband. In fact, just to try to convince Lord Ram, she also mentions that there was some astrological prediction that one time one Brahman had come to the palace of Janak Maharaj and he informed that your daughter deserves to live in a palace, but there will be a time in her life when she will have to go to the forest to live a very ascetic kind of life. So as she is informing Ram, her mood is that she is trying to convince Ram, I should also go to the forest with you. But Ram says, this is not expected from you. It is only I who has been sent to exile. So you don't need to come to the forest. So now this is something that is like what we are discussing today. Krishna and Rukmini. So now Ram and Sita are together, and Ram has been banished, and Sita is saying, I'll also go. But Ram, out of love for Sita, thinks it will be very difficult for her. He mentions, at night, there are many dangerous creatures in the forest. He mentions, even the sound of a waterfall is also very dangerous. He mentions, there are dry leaves on which we'll have to sleep. He says, all this is not meant for you, Sita. And Sita is trying to convince that the Patni Dharma is to go with the husband. So as this is happening, there is some kind of a, you know, apparent conflict, just like we are seeing here. But now the basis is pure love. So at one point of time, you know what Sita Devi says? Sita Devi teases Lord Ram. And she says, oh, what misfortune that my father married me to a woman in the guise of a man. She uses the word striyam purusha vigraham. So actually you are a woman and you do not have the courage to take me and protect me, and that's why you are saying like this. Now Lord Ram, you know, he understands this is out of love, this is not to offend him or anything. It is said, for happy life there are four withouts. Like many times we hear that there are some things to be added in your life. So this is something to be subtracted from your life for a happy life. What are these? Live without pretending. Love without depending. Listen without defending. And speak without offending. So, now Sita Devi is speaking this. And Lord Ram is hearing this. And it sounds as if this is like very strong words. Krishna, when he used this for Arjun, when he said, Klaibhyam masma gama partha, Arjun was shaken. So something like that. Sita Devi is speaking like that. But Ram, you know, we can understand, he does not get offended. In fact, the conversation goes on. Sita Devi gives many reasons. She says, if I come to the forest with you and there is dust that is blowing, it will be like sandalwood dust. She says, the bed of leaves will be more better for me than to sleep on a very soft bed. Actually, she says, you know what heaven is and what hell is? So she says, heaven is where you are, and if I am with you, even if it is a forest. And she says, hell is if I am without you, even in the palace of Ayodhya. So hearing all this, Ramchandra, he agrees eventually that Sita Devi should accompany him. One can easily understand how Sita Devi is the internal energy of Lord Ram. Now the external energy of the Supreme Lord, in the Bhagavatam it is mentioned, she feels shy. She never ever comes in front of the Supreme Lord. Vilajja manaya. She is shy of coming in front of the Supreme Lord. Why? Because the duty of external energy is to increase the distance between the living entities and the Supreme Lord. To always make sure that only the right kind of people go back to the spiritual world. And what is the function of the internal energy? The function of the internal energy is to reduce the distance, to enhance the love between the Supreme Lord and the devotees. So this is internal energy. And she is speaking seemingly harsh words. But Ram is also the Paramatma. So even the words may be strong and it seems she is speaking with offending. But Lord Ram understands. No, she is speaking without offending. And then instead of becoming angry on Sita Devi, actually he consents. So sometimes, you know, we feel that only Krishna is very expert at doing these kind of emotional maneuvering. But no, Sita Devi is also expert. Every expert person who has very successful relationships. If you know anybody who is very expert at relationships, you should understand, it's not that they know only one way of having a relationship, they know multiple ways of having a relationship. So we saw about Krishna, we saw about Sita Devi. In the pre-ISKCON days, when Srila Prabhupada was just a sannyasi and he was in Bombay, then he would go and try to meet with one wealthy woman in Bombay, Srimati Sumati Murarji. And she had a secretary. And the secretary would always think, you know, why does this old man want to go to USA? So he would regularly tease Srila Prabhupada. He would say, why do you want to go to USA? If you want to start a mission, why don't you start a mission in Bombay? Why don't you start a mission in Delhi? Or why don't you start a mission in Vrindavan? I know why you want to go to USA. You want to go and tour the USA. So now imagine somebody talking like that to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada would say, you look at my body. I'm 69. Do you really think I want to tour the world at this age? He says, the real reason why I want to go to USA is, I want to give vision to those who do not have it. So, you know, these kind of teasings, they go on in a relationship. We'll see some reasons for teasing. Why does somebody do that? As mankind goes more and more into the postmodern era of faithlessness, I feel there are so many stories of Krishna where he appears to be superhuman. He lifts Govardhan, he kills different demons. So as mankind becomes more and more faithless, there is definitely a great need to explain to the common man how it is possible for God to do anything. How he can lift a mountain without feeling any strain in his hands. He is not like Hercules, who is like completely burdened. But I feel as we go ahead in time, there is also a need to explain how Krishna is not just expert at showing his power, but Krishna is also super expert at manifesting these kind of emotions. So today's faithless person, he lacks two kind of education. One is faith in God's power. But he also lacks an understanding of the personality of Godhead. For him today, whenever he has relationships with anybody in this world, it does not work out properly. There's so much energy we have to put into relationships, and because we are not educated properly, sometimes we offend that person, we misunderstand that person, we judge a person. And there is so much emphasis on trying to always be very safe than sorry in relationships. So when we see how Krishna is very expert, he knows where to draw the line. He knows what kind of talk to have with somebody like Satyabhama. And he knows how a totally different flavor should be used in my dealings with somebody like Rukmini Devi. He's so expert at doing all this. So this is also an inseparable part of Krishna's godhood. Krishna is not just God because he can lift a mountain. Because if we know the story, then Pulatsya Rishi, he also lifted Govardhan. He transported Govardhan. So he is also lifting Govardhan. So if you could become God just by lifting a mountain, then Pulatsya is a big competition to Krishna. But that is not just the only reason why Krishna is God. Krishna is God because not just in manifestations of his greatness, but also in his manifestations of simple things like having super successful relationships. So if a common man reads these kind of stories, how Krishna is very expert at choosing very specific words, and how he always, you know, he's creating a whirlpool in the calm ocean-like mind of Rukmini Devi. How does he, you know, there's some shloka in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Vamshidhvani Chakrapat Narir Mana Trinapat. No, I don't remember the next lines. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, Vamshidhvani Chakravat. He is saying, when Krishna blows the flute, it's like a whirlwind. And he said, Narir Mana Trinapat. And the gopis' minds are like dry leaves. So what happens? They're just like thrown into the sky. And then in the next line, I don't remember the Bengali. But he says, and Krishna sometimes also sinks the minds of the gopis in a deep whirlpool in the ocean of love. So he gives two analogies. One is he throws them high in the sky and he throws them deep in the ocean. So this is also something that makes Krishna God. How is he able to do this? How there is never even one unsuccessful relationship in his life? And as time goes by, you know, as mankind increases in power, probably they can build big cranes to do some things that Krishna did. You know, with mechanical means they can do something. So Krishna also lifted a big heavy weight, and probably with these big huge machines they can lift a big heavy weight. But can they do what Krishna is doing? With every single person in his life, he has the best relationship.
And everyone, even if Krishna smiles at them or Krishna makes them angry, in their heart, they're completely in love with Krishna. Try doing this with the people in our lives. Sometimes we praise somebody and that person thinks we are criticizing him. So why are you praising me so much? This is genuine praise. And sometimes, you know, we are very angry with somebody and then that causes the distance to be increased. So, you know, this kind of emotional expertise of Krishna, I feel, as time goes by, you know, this will also prove how Krishna is God rather than just his exhibition of power. In the story, when Krishna is dealing with Kaliya, Krishna, I feel, you know, he churns the heart of the Brajavasis. At one point of time, there is an embrace between Kaliya and Krishna. So for one muhurta, which is roughly around 48 minutes, Krishna is thickly in embrace with Kaliya. And all the Brajavasis, because they have an understanding that Krishna is a small little young boy, actually they are thinking, you know, what is this happening? The churning is going on. And Yashoda Mai almost faints. And then when Krishna sees enough is enough, I think I have churned the hearts enough. I need to also show them that no, he has not overpowered me. Krishna breaks free. So Krishna is very expert at churning. He knows how much to put his devotees in distress so that they become totally absorbed in thinking about him. Every time there is a calamity, Krishna allows that calamity to happen and to go on till a certain extent. Why? Because all the Vrajavasis are looking at that calamity and thinking, now what will happen? What will Krishna do? Will he be overpowered? Now somewhere in them, there is that deep conviction that Krishna cannot be overpowered. Till now, so many demons came and Krishna overpowered all of them. But every time, Krishna makes them go through all these emotions. What will happen? That kind of absorption is very nourishing to love. And Krishna knows how to do it. In the story, when that one mendicant Brahman, he came to Jagannath Mishra's home. You know, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj speaks with great detail that pastime. Hi, hi. So we can see how Lord Chaitanya, little Nimai, is kind of teasing that Brahman. He offers the bhoga and Nimai comes and eats it. Then he says, hi, hi, you know, it's not necessary. Actually, I'm a simple person, he says. I can just eat roots and fruits. Sometimes, rarely I eat rice. But Jagannath Mishra says, no, 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 this will be defaming our family. You came to our home. No, no, you should eat. Please cook again. He cooks twice. Now it's almost midnight, it is described. He already came late and cooking takes quite some time. So now second time he cooks and then he offers to Bal Gopal, his worshipable deity. And little Nimai, he's actually locked behind some door and somehow he comes and he eats it. Oh, again he says, hi, hi, you know, my offering has been spoiled. So now this time it is mentioned, Jagannath Mishra just puts his head in his hands and he says, my family is finished. You know, I invited somebody to my home and my little child, unknowingly, he's eating bhoga. So it is mentioned the second time, the young Vishwaroop, because he was very beautiful and he was very gentle and he was very attractive. He was an expansion of Lord Nityanand. It is only when Vishwaroop came and convinced the Brahman, please, please, please cook again. Third time. Actually, the Brahman had given all hopes of eating rice, eating food that day. But he agreed, relented. And he cooked the third time. And this time, not only was Nimai locked, but they were standing guard to that room, just to make sure that Nimai does not come. And then again, third time, he chants the Gopala mantra and offers to Krishna. And what happens? Now Nimai again comes third time. It is mentioned by Yogam Nidra, everyone was put to sleep and little Nimai escaped and he again ate. But this time, when the Brahman chanted, hi, hi, nobody woke up. Because Nimai had decided, I teased him enough. So then he said, in a very innocent way he's saying, what is the problem? You call me, and then when I come, I eat it, then you become angry, and then you are saying, hi, hi, it is spoiled. And then, you know, he showed an eight-handed form to this Brahman, and this Brahman saw the gopas, the gopis, Vrindavan, cows, he saw the entire picture. And then it is mentioned, this Brahman, he became such a lover of Krishna, that he never left Navadvip after that day. So, Nimai in that conversation he reveals, you have been my servant for many lifetimes. So don't you remember, in my previous life when I was Krishna, when I was a cowherd boy, that time also you had come and I had given you my darshan. Did you forget that?
So Krishna, you know, he uses these kind of teasing, hiding, and then suddenly coming. Yes, not just physically, emotionally also, just to increase the love. So this Brahman is already his devotee. He's already a faithful servant of the Lord, but the Supreme Lord is not happy in just making people his devotees. The Supreme Lord wants his devotees to become his lovers. So he's doing different things just to make them more and more thick, make the love more and more thick. This is how Krishna is doing it. All of us are used to walking on land. But sometimes there are some places on this planet where there is a subterranean aquarium. So there is a place in Singapore where you can go and you go below the land, below the sea. And then there is a glass casing like this and you can see fish, you are like under the ocean. Or sometimes there are rides which you sit and then they take you high up in the sky and you can almost do a 360 degrees turn. So why do people go on such rides? They appear to be very dangerous. They do that because it is a little abnormal. Walking on the land, running on the land, driving on the land, anybody can do. But like going high in the sky or going deep into the ocean, many people, you know, in the West especially, there is a sport called bungee jumping. So you tie some kind of an elastic rope to your legs and then you jump from a very great height. You fall down and then again you go up. It's kind of a thrill. So something abnormal. We like surprises. We are hungry for surprises. So in physical life, if we are so much eager for surprises, little bit, yes, you can't do bungee jumping every day. Yes, that would be very difficult. But the point was, similarly in our relationships, when we have a relationship with somebody, after some time it tends to become predictable. You know what that person likes, you know what that person does not like, that person knows what you like and what you dislike. So after some time, there can come a tendency of monotony. It becomes very simple, it becomes, you know, predictable. So Krishna also understands, with my devotees, life can become very predictable. They know what I like, they know what I don't like. So to put fresh life into the relationship, Krishna sometimes takes a very strange kind of a behavior. So with Rukmini, he's always very gentle. Because he knows Rukmini is also very gentle. But in this situation we see how Krishna is like playing the emotional card in a very rough way. He's almost pinching her. You're so beautiful and they were so nice. When the Brahman Patnis came, Krishna said, oh, actually, you should go back. When the gopis came in the middle of the night, so who played the flute? Krishna played the flute. And when the gopis come, he says, well, no, you are all very nice girls. In the middle of the night, you have come to the forest. This forest is a dangerous place. He says, actually, your duty is to go and serve your husbands. Then he says, adultery actually ruins somebody. So my advice is you should go back. And the gopis are thinking, what do we do? He called us in the flute sound, we could hear our names being played. Somewhere I read this, that, you know, all the gopis were hearing their names. So it was like clear call to them, and now they go, and Krishna says, why did you come? So it's quite actually heartbreaking to get some kind of a very different kind of an emotional exchange with a person with whom you have gone through a particular type of an exchange. Here, Rukmini Devi also, no, she is also wondering, you know, what happened to Krishna? Why is he talking like this? How could he do this? So why does Krishna do this? What is the reason? A river has a great flow and it has a great power. So when a river flows, it can do a lot of things. Sometimes when there is a flood, then there is so much devastation that happens just because of the power of the river. But sometimes we create a dam and then the river water that is stocked up behind the dam, if you look at it, it appears to be very calm. Yes, all the power of the river is hidden in that serenity of the dam, is it not? Now, sometimes, for some reasons, if somebody opens the gates of the dam, then that whole stocked up water again starts flowing and it can again cause damage. Some 3 or 4 years back, I had seen a small video in which there was a family who had gone to some picnic spot and there was some kind of a small stream of water that was downstream from a big dam. And as they were playing, something went wrong. Probably there were some warnings they did not hear, something like that. But there was a video shooting. How, in a matter of seconds actually, the water level, the water came with a gushing speed, the water level rose, and one of the family members was just swept away before anybody could realize anything. So suddenly, he's just washed away. So something like that, where here, you know, Krishna knows how much love is there in Rukmini Devi's heart for him. However, in the time to come, you and me, the ordinary people, may not understand, because they always have some kind of predictable exchanges. Rukmini Devi is very soft-hearted, so Krishna also talks in a soft-hearted way with her. So Krishna thinks, this high quality of love, this high quality of intimacy that Rukmini Devi has for me, somebody should know about it. It's not that she's like some kind of a very humble and simple lady. No, she has a lot of love. And if there is a need, and if I trouble her, she can also give back answers. So in the time to come, we will see how for every single point where Krishna pricked her, Rukmini Devi gives a very philosophical proper answer just to prove, I do not have any other option other than loving you. Like Sita Devi said, I do not have any other option other than coming with you to the forest. So to highlight the special pure love of Rukmini Devi, Krishna does this. He opens the gate of the dam and lets the river flow with a great flow so that you and me can learn. Now Krishna, he is doing this with the Brahman Patnis, he is doing this with the gopis, and he does this with Rukmini. But does Krishna do these kind of exchanges with neophyte devotees? Never. That is where a inexpert person or a non-expert person differs from an expert person. An expert person knows where to draw the line, what is the limit. A non-expert person does not know. Think about it, you know, if some devotee is praying to Krishna, and he's a neophyte devotee, he's a beginner, and then Krishna comes to him and says, well, why did you pray to me? There are so many other powerful men in this world to whom you can pray and they can help you. Because this neophyte devotee is a new person, he can say, oh really, there are other people who are more powerful than you, okay, I'll worship them. He can give this kind of a response. So we can see how, for neophyte devotees, for new people, Krishna encourages them. Artha jigyasu artharthi gyani cha bharatarshava. He is saying, if a new devotee worships me, he says, yes, you have come to the right place. You have come to the Father. You have come to the real person. Only with a few sincere, elevated devotees, about whom Krishna does not have a doubt. Krishna does not have a doubt that if I give them some kind of a different exchange, they will not run away. Only with these devotees Krishna talks like that. With ordinary devotees Krishna says, ye yatha mam prapadyante. Krishna would dare not speak like this, that actually you should have gone with somebody else, to you and me. So don't be afraid that we also will get some kind of a different exchange with Krishna. Krishna reserves these kind of special exchanges only with special devotees. In ordinary psychological studies, it is mentioned that during conversations, when two people are talking, only 7% of the message is passed on from the content of the talk. So one person is speaking and the other person is hearing. Only 7% of the content goes across. 38% of the message goes from the voice, the pitch, the tone, and the sound. And 55% of the communication happens by facial gestures. So we, you know, if you look at the words of Krishna, they are quite harsh. But Rukmini Devi understands that, you know, I should not pay much attention to the words. I know what is in his heart. Although he is trying to poke me with his words and they seem to be harsh, but actually this is just his love for me. One time, in the beginning days of this temple, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was in his room. And one of the devotees who was serving him, you know, he called for him. Maharaj called for him. So when this devotee entered, then Radhanath Maharaj was very serious. And he was looking in a very serious manner. And then he looked at this devotee and said, So his name. And then he said, in a very serious tone, with a very serious face, he said, are you willing to die for me? Now he is a disciple. And he's a very dedicated disciple. And now Maharaj says, are you willing to die for me? So this disciple was thinking, oh, what is this emergency? This like serious thing.
So what has happened that Maharaj is asking me? So then he thought about it and he said, Maharaj, yes. And then Maharaj picked up a bunch of clothes and he said, okay, dye these clothes for me. He was mentioned, you know, this cloth needs to be dyed in the saffron, this white cloth. So I said, okay, dye these clothes for me. Yes. So this is how expert personalities, you know, the tea is actually, yes. And they do it only with special people. They don't do it with the beginners because they know this person said, no, no way. Yes, I have decided to follow your orders. I am not going to die for you. But only, this is meant only for some special people and special exchanges. So this is how expert people are. It's not possible for everyone to speak like this and to get some, you know, exchange like this. You know, this fine art of teasing, it requires intelligence and it also requires sensitivity, both. If somebody is only intelligent, then he will end up speaking words like this, but, you know, he'll end up hurting that person. And sometimes people are so sensitive that, you know, these kind of intelligent word play does not come to them. They're just very simple. But only when somebody is super intelligent and super sensitive, and if you see these personalities, Krishna, super intelligent and super sensitive. Prabhupada, super intelligent, super Sita Devi. So anyone who is very expert at this teasing business, you can see they are very intelligent and they are very sensitive also. Lord Chaitanya at one point of time in Puri, some Brahmanas invited him for lunch. Then he said, I won't come to your home. He said, don't you know, I only come to those homes where the person is Lakshyeshwar. So the word Lakshyeshwar is a combination of two words. Laksha means 1 lakh. And Ishwara means master. It means in ordinary language, what it means is somebody who has 1,000, 1 lakh rupees or 1 lakh gold coins or something like that. Laksha, Ishwara. So now all those Brahmanas, they looked at each other. They had immense love for Lord Chaitanya. Then they said, what to speak of 1 lakh? We do not even have 1,000. So what to do? Our life is destroyed. We cannot invite you for lunch even. And they were also thinking, probably, I don't know, he's a sannyasi and how is he putting this kind of a condition of money? But because they were very morose and they were intimate devotees, they did not say, acha, this is what a sannyasi is saying. Oh, you know, we'll file a petition against you. No, they were very intimate devotees. So Lord Chaitanya behaves like this only with his intimate devotees. When they were very morose, then Lord Chaitanya said, I will tell you what is Lakshyeshwar. He said, I want to tell you that I will come only to those homes, those who chant 1 lakh names of the Supreme Lord every day. They are Lakshyeshwar. And hearing this, all these poor Brahmanas, they became so happy. They said, Jai, Jai, from today onwards, we will all chant 1 lakh names of the Supreme Lord. Please come, please come. You have made our life successful. Thank you so much for teaching us. So Lord Chaitanya used this teasing sometimes as a tool to teach people. This is how expert people can deal with different emotions to get out different lessons. So, some lessons from this teasing for you and me is that I felt there are two kinds of Vedic philosophers. One is the personalists and one is the impersonalists. So personalists are those who believe in the personal form of Lord. And who are the impersonalists? Impersonalists are those who believe that perfection has to be impersonal. Perfection cannot come in a personality. It has to be always impersonal. We had so many experiences in this world where a form always gave us imperfection. So when they read such interactions between Krishna and his devotees, this is a hard slap to their impersonalist tendencies. Krishna is so expert, Krishna is so perfect in his dealings, and Krishna has a form. The more they read Krishna Leela, the more they see how Krishna is perfect, not just in lifting mountains, but he is also expert in lifting the minds of his devotees to greater and greater heights. This is like a slap to the impersonalist, and they will very soon, if they actually just read the Krishna book, all your impersonalist tendencies will go away. You can understand how this person has a form, but he is perfect in his dealings in every small way. So I feel, you know, even within us also, even though we have accepted devotional service, but there are a lot of impersonalist tendencies. Even while staying with devotees, sometimes in our behavior, there is impersonalism. So philosophically, we may not be impersonalist, but in our exchanges, we are not sensitive and like that.
But when we read such stories, especially where Krishna is having very loving, sweet exchanges with his devotees, and how he is speaking very fine words, more and more we'll become sensitive. So the more we read Krishna book, the more we'll become sensitive in our relationships and in our dealings. And another thing is that how Krishna is so unconventional that you cannot predict him. He can go to any length just to increase the love that his devotees have for him. So for him, you know, relationship is not a tool, relationship is a goal. Sometimes people use relationships as a tool to get what they want. And Krishna uses different tactics to see that the relationship is the goal. At the end of everything, whether he teases, he smiles, he ignores, he speaks harsh words, whatever it is. These are the different tactics that Krishna uses. But the goal is that he wants to thicken the relationship that he has with devotees. So Krishna is quite innovative. So when we read these pastimes, we can also think that we as people of the 21st century should not just be innovative in technology. We should not just be innovative in different physical things, but we should also bring innovation in our relationships. Let us think about newer ways to thicken our friendship with our friends. Let us think of innovative ways how to surrender more and more to the spiritual master, to the Vaishnavas, to the Supreme Lord. There also innovation is required. So the tactics of surrendering that we read in the Bhagavatam, they are like from Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga, like that. In Kali Yuga, how should I increase my surrender to the spiritual master? In Kali Yuga, how should I increase my dependence on fellow devotees? This also requires a lot of innovation. Times have changed, situation has changed, I have changed. So I feel these are the two lessons that we can learn from this specific pastime where Krishna is very expertly dealing with his chief queen, Queen Rukmini. So thank you so much for your patient listening. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan ki jai.
Hare Krishna, there is one announcement.